There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You know, he's an author and he is the go-to when it comes to trying to figure out what's going on in the NFL, especially if you're reading Pro Football Talk. His book is out on Amazon. It's called Son of Mine. And he has the latest on what's going on in the NFL. He is Mike Florio. Hello, Mike. He is, come on, there we go, and it's not working. You guys, got it?
Is.
It is. Did it go? Mike, are you there? No.
What's up, guys?
Oh, there you are. Sorry, I'm having trouble with that. And you're on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mike, I just, you know, just to put a big picture on things, I was really looking forward to you covering the Browns in a flex game at the end of the season when the Browns would be playing, what, the second to last game of the season against the Dolphins. I'm not feeling a flex for the Browns late in the season on Sunday Night Football. Sorry, man. I think we're going to take it away from you. What do you think?
For the Dolphins, as the case may be. I mean, they have four wins between them halfway through the season, so I don't think we're going to see Cleveland and Miami at anything other than the lowest level of the 1 o'clock Eastern window.
Can I thank you, though, Mike? Your latest power rankings out, and you have the Browns 24th, not 30th.
Well,
or
you know what?
31st,
there's a lot of bad teams right now. 25% of the league stinks right now. It's amazing.
Why?
Yeah, what's up?
Usually the two halves don't separate this early. And the NFL doesn't like that. They want as many teams to be alive for as long as possible. Look, chances are one of these teams that's hovering near the bottom is going to make its way into contention, because you don't have to get all that hot to find yourself in the mix. And there's often a team around Thanksgiving, a team or two that is close to 500. They find the gas pedal and off they go. They start viewing the regular season games like postseason games, and they become potentially dangerous, because by the time they get to the playoffs, it's like, well, we've been doing this for 6 weeks. What's the big deal? But you got to win a game at some point. And I thought the Browns were turning the corner when they beat the Ravens. I thought they'd beat the Chargers, but the Jameis Winston experience was short-lived. And now I think it should just be a question of which contracts can we unload. We need draft picks for the future. They desperately need to turn veteran contracts into draft picks, because with this remaining Deshaun Watson cash and cap commitment, the more young, cheap players they have, the more likely they're going to be in position to have a competitive team. And it's all because of the Watson deal. I would field offers for anyone except Myles Garrett. And I'd have to take a closer look at the cap situation for some of the other players. But other than Myles Garrett, I would say it's a deal that we would be willing to consider if it means more draft picks for the future to counter the fact that there's still $172 million lurking around on the Deshaun Watson deal.
Mike, is there anybody on this roster? So Watson, Winston, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Bailey Zappe, who you would think could be the starting quarterback of this team next season?
Next season, probably not. I mean, DTR, there was a lot of excitement about him in training camp, preseason in 2023, And then when he started the first time, remember, there he admitted himself that maybe he wasn't ready for it. And then when he came and played later, he got injured. So he still might be a work in progress. He might be an incomplete. So maybe there's something there. And I think at some point, Jameis Winston needs to sit down and DTR needs to get a chance to play so a decision can be made as to whether or not he's the guy, because he would be under a cheap contract next year. But that's the problem. Unless you're going to draft a guy who will go to Cleveland and embrace playing for the Browns with all the Deshaun Watson stuff going on, and I think we are getting closer and closer to a young quarterback at the top of the draft saying, I'm not playing for your team. I have my NIL money. I'll just re-enter the draft next year. They need to be thinking about who's going to be the quarterback given the ball and chain that is the Deshaun Watson contract. So, yeah, let's see what DTR has, because maybe he's the guy week one next year.
Is there anything on that Browns roster you think that it looks viable? I mean, like, we could sit here and talk about David Njoku maybe. You know, Greg Newsom is kind of a name that we've thrown around. Would anybody want Elijah Moore? Is there anything on this Browns roster that is, like, exciting to another team?
Those are the three names I've heard. Njoku, Newsom, and Moore. And Moore falls into that cluster of mid-tier receivers that maybe a team that needs a pass catcher will swoop in and try to get. And Njoku would be fascinating if it happens. What would it take to get him? It would be, I think, hard to see him go, but is he going to be there for the turnaround? That's the key. If this is a guy who's not going to be there when they turn the page on the Watson debacle, then the more you can get for him now and flipping current players for draft picks that are going to help you dig out of this hole, the better off it's going to be. It's a strategic tank. It's what they did 6 or 7 years ago, and they had it all in writing, and there were incentives for kicking cap space to the following year. There was incentive for payment for executives and coaches for stockpiling draft picks. They need to dust that off, because the only way they're going to be competitive over the next few years is to maximize young players, develop young players, because they're not going to have the luxury of going out and spending a lot of money on a quarterback or anyone else that could come in and help make the team better as a veteran.
Mike, there's no way they can dodge the 2 years that are left on Watson's contract.
The only way they can avoid it is if somehow the league still suspends him for the lawsuit that was filed the day after the first game of the regular season, assuming that Deshaun Watson never disclosed the name of this specific plaintiff to the Browns in advance of signing his original contract or any of the restructurings. If there is no advance notice of someone with a claim that results in a suspension, that's when they can void the remaining guarantees. And the league supposedly is still investigating, but when you settle the case, you short-circuit the league's internal disciplinary process, because part of the settlement is you can't talk to anyone. The league has no subpoena power. They can't force the plaintiff in that case to talk, so they can never come to the conclusion. I mean, it's going to take a lot of work without testimony from the individual who made the accusation. It's going to take a lot of work to come to the conclusion that he did something for which he should be suspended. That's the only way to avoid the $92 million. Unless he would do something to get himself suspended by the team, but then it would be a big legal fight over whether or not that's just a pretext for avoiding the $92 million.
Any chance he's healthy and they just send him home next year? Or he's sitting on the bench? There's a part of me that I could see a scenario where he's starting again for the Browns because of the financial restraints. And there's a part of me that says, well, maybe they'll just pay him and let him sit at home and play with a roster with one less guy.
Well, the Texans did that in 2021 when he didn't want to play for them anymore, and they were hoping to trade him, and all the lawsuits had been filed. They paid him $10 million to sit at home that year. There are cap consequences that would arise from trading him, not that anyone's ever going to trade for him, or cutting him. And if you cut him, you're taking – now, if you would cut him with a post-June 1 designation, you would take the bulk of the cap charge in 2026. The way the contract is structured with voidable years and whatnot, they can better manage the overall cap consequence if they just keep him on the team and don't play him, whether they send him home or whether they say you're just going to be inactive. And, you know, at some level I wonder, and I thought of this before he was injured, because I saw someone suggest he would welcome a trade. Again, no one's going to trade for him. But one way to maybe make a trade more palatable would be for him to give up a significant amount of his guaranteed money, take a lot less pay, convert some things to incentives or whatever. Even then, I don't see a team taking the PR hit that would flow from bringing in a guy who seemed to be well beyond his high-performing years and now has a torn Achilles tendon. So I just think even if he would give up $32 million a year or more, if he'd give up everything but $5 million, like, who's going to say, here's Deshaun Watson, hey, fans, hey, folks who we want to buy tickets to our games and buy jerseys and show up and root for our team, here's Deshaun Watson as your new starting quarterback. There's no fan base that's going to accept that, so there's no team that's going to do it. So the Browns are just stuck, and it's either cut him and take a massive cap hit prematurely or keep him around, manage the cap hit, and you know, either send him home if he's willing to go home, because you can't force a guy to go home. You have to keep him around if he wants to be around.
Right.
But I said this for weeks. They have to pay him. They don't have to play him.
Mike Florio joining us from Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. When you talk to folks around the league and have over the last couple of years and Watson's name comes up, are they surprised, Mike, that he's not the player that he was in Houston and that he's this far away from it? Or do they understand?
Four teams ready to sign him. Four teams wanted him. The Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Browns were all at the table, and it was a masterful job by the Texans. They essentially set in advance the terms. You had to be pre-qualified to even be at the table to try to convince Deshaun Watson to come play for you. So four teams got pre-qualified for trades, and it was a significant trade. Three first-round picks and three other draft picks for Watson, plus a mid-round pick. And the Browns, if you remember, and I'm sure many Browns fans would like to forget, they were the first team out. And so they responded to that slap in the face by making him an offer that he wouldn't refuse. And so, yeah, teams thought he still had it. We saw him in 2020. He had a great season, incredible numbers. If they'd been a playoff team, he would have been an MVP candidate. 2021, he didn't play. Here comes 22. And even knowing that he was going to get suspended, knowing that, there were still four teams that were ready to sign him. But the problem is, and I don't think we properly accounted for what the entire experience does from the standpoint of your baggage, your confidence, your ability to go out and play. So it was six games in 22, six games last year due to injury, seven games this year due to injury, and it's just been a disaster. It's the worst transaction of the post-salary cap era where you pay a guy and you trade for him. It's the worst trade/sign that we've seen since the salary cap became a thing.
Ugh. America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So they've got that going for them. Is there a market for
James? I don't want to twist the knife here, but it's fascinating to think of how good they would be if they had used those three first-round picks and the other draft picks and kept that money. Because look at what they did last year without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people still around here still say, what if they would just hung on to Baker and not try to court Deshaun? Because Baker seemed like he was good to go until then Deshaun said, no, I'm not coming. And then Baker got upset about that. And we all know that story. Let me turn the page, though,
forward. Yeah, and that's just bad management. Look, it all flows from ownership. We've been talking a lot about the Jets this year. The dysfunction of any organization flows from the top. And this is ownership being impulsive. This is ownership not entrusting the people who have been hired to run the football operation to do so without interference, whether it's direct or subtle. And they screwed up the relationship with Baker Mayfield. They should have tried to make it work with Baker Mayfield. And you look at how he's playing now, and there's no guarantee he would have played that way in Cleveland, but he'd be a better option than what we currently see with the Browns.
Who is someone going to take the fall at the end of the season? Is it going to be Andrew Berry? Is it going to be Kevin Stefanski? Or can they admit that it was a mistake to bring him in and move forward with what they have in place? I mean, let's be honest. It's not like the Browns are nowhere near the Steelers when it comes to consistency in the front office or in the coaching department.
They've refused to admit it was a mistake, though. Like, firing someone would be an admission that it was a mistake. They were going to keep playing him. That's the more compelling decision that I'm going to be watching to see what the Browns do. Will they ever admit that Deshaun Watson should not be the starting quarterback? I don't know that they're ready to do that, and I don't know that they ever will do it. And look, I feel bad for Kevin Stefanski. He's the guy that's got to take the public criticism for a decision that I believe is not his. Now, he would say it is. I don't buy it. I think any decision you make like that when you're working for a privately owned organization, that decision is subject to the will of the person who owns the team. So they have to admit that they made a mistake. And that's the worst thing you can do in any sports team, in any organization. If you've made a mistake, you admit it and you move on. You find the best path forward. If you double down, you only make it worse.
Do you think this was all ownership here, Mike? Or was there... What was Paul DePodesta saying, we make this move? Was Andrew Berry, yes, we must go get this guy?
My own theory, and this is based on following the Browns ever since the Haslams bought the team in 2012, and you go back to Johnny Manziel and the supposed directive by the homeless guy to take Johnny Manziel. This is the billionaire's privilege. And they can say with a straight face, I have a chapter in Playmakers about this, they can say with a straight face that they didn't tell the football people what to do. Well, being a billionaire means not having to tell people what to do. There are easy ways to send messages because everyone's on pins and needles. And the example that I always use, and I've probably said it on your show before when talking about the Haslams, if you're Jimmy and you walk in the front door to the building and there's a bowl of Snickers on the table and he eats one and he declares to the receptionist, this is the best candy I've ever had in my life. What's going to happen is Snickers is going to be everywhere. And he's never said, I want Snickers to be everywhere. But you're paying attention to the things being said, whether it's comments, stray comments, questions asked. People try to detect what the owner wants, and they try to act accordingly. Same thing happened in Carolina with Bryce Young. And they all say, oh, no, it's not the owner. Baloney. Baloney. That's why it's incumbent on the owner to be very careful about what is said around the football people, because they're thinking about preservation. And if they think this is what the owner wants, they're going to find a way to give the owner what the owner wants, because at the end of the day, they want to continue to be employed.
Wow. Snickers theory. I will never forget that. You made me smarter for that.
I like it. Yeah, that's good.
Is there a market for Jameis Winston? Because it felt like, you know, in the Cincinnati game here, because DTR was the backup, that Jameis was on his way out, and maybe they were trying to trade him then. Then he comes back, has that great game against the Ravens. And like you said in the beginning of the conversation, it felt like the market might be up for him a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you get the Chargers game, and you're like, no, which one's the real Deshaun Watson? Or who's the real Jameis Winston, you know, at that point?
If a contending team had a need right now, I would say maybe. And the Cowboys would be a little bit interesting with Dak Prescott on IR, but I just don't think that Winston has played well enough, and I think the closing argument of the 3-interception performance against the Chargers is enough to keep a team from saying, hey, let's go get Jameis Winston. He's the thing that's going to push us over the top. So I think it's a matter of playing out the string until they decide to go to DTR and see what he has in advance of next year. I think that's how it's going to go for the Browns over the course of the rest of the season. It's a shame. You know, last year the team was a wild card going into the season, and wow, look, a playoff berth and a feel that maybe they could get hot in the postseason. This year, wild card, and it goes the other way.
All right, Mike, holidays coming up. You got the book, Son of Mine, available on Amazon. How's it going? Where are we looking? How can people get it? Other than that, just said Amazon.
You go to Amazon, and Son of Mine is the second book in the Father of Mine series. They are standalone, but it's definitely a series. If you read the second one, you're going to spoil the outcome for yourself of the first one. So start with the first one, then the second one. I'm actually working on the third one. And I have a holiday book. It's a tradition that we unveil every year, and I'm getting ready to start making the big push at PFT on our way home, which even though I wrote it, I can say with confidence it is an excellent book. It teaches great lessons about redemption and reconciliation. And I think whatever happens today on the other thing that's going on coast to coast, we all could use a little redemption and reconciliation once the dust settles.
Hmm. Well said.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, Mike, thank you. You know, we love having you on the show, and best of luck with the books. And, of course, we're always watching on Sunday night. We read Pro Football Talk every day. So thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Mike Florio on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.